College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're broadcasting live from Billiken Grill at St. Louis University. Tonight is the Billiken Blizzard. The men's basketball team will host Dayton. It is always a big game at Chaffetz Arena, and tonight is a particularly big one. Both teams pretty good. So it will be a loud building. It will sell out. There might be a handful of tickets left, if any at all, at this point. So it's going to be a fun night.
And you buy a handful. Like, he's not exaggerating.
Like, there literally a handful.
Yeah, I think if you're lucky, there are five tickets.
Or they're gone. I don't even know. Yeah. So the game tonight brought to you by Summer at SLU. So we are talking to Jacob Weirson, who is with Summer at SLU now. How's it going, Jacob?
Thank you for having me, Chris and Amy. It is great to be here. So it was my radio debut. A year ago this time, last year.
Yeah, for the Billiken Blizzard.
Billiken Blizzard again.
During the literal blizzard.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly
right.
Exactly right. And so this is year two. I'm very excited to be with y'all. But I have to tell a quick KMOX story. So I'm from El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
Love St. Louis. I've been here since 2013. I was a student here at SLU. But when I told my parents that I was going to be on KMOX for this interview last year, they're like, okay, we're going to listen. We're going to dial in. You have made a regular listener of my dad, David Weirson, in El Paso. He's always texting me about, like, oh, sounds like there's a big traffic issue on Highway 44. I'm like, Dad, you are 1,800 miles from St. Louis. There is nothing that is going to impact you of what's happening on I-44. Or he's like, Chris and Amy, man, they're middle of the road. I love that they bring two sides to the story. That's a great topic. I'm like, when did this happen?
So I love this so much.
You have a regular listener in El Paso, Texas. So
David,
way to go.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
You know our text line, David, 314-436-7900. You can always text in if you have a thought about the traffic or about anything else.
And I love to know that your dad, who lives in Texas, says that we are middle of the road because, from what we understand, we're Libby commies. So...
No, that is high praise, by the way, from my father.
So that's good.
That's awesome.
Way to go. Yeah,
all right, good.
That's pretty cool.
Well, that is cool. I feel you just made my day.
Yes.
I feel so honored. This
go.
Is right up there with talking to Robbie Avila today.
Yeah, that's big too. Yes.
So we have one fan. All right, good. So Summer at SLU, tell us what's going on.
Give us a general overview
for this year.
So much going on our campus in the summer, and one of those is our 40-plus. We have over 40 K-12 camps and academies. They primarily happen in May, June, July, and part of August. But we start in kindergarten for these programs, and we go all the way up to 12th grade. And we've got anything you can think of, any type of program for any type of age group. So we've got middle and high school theater camps. We have K-12 STEM programs, so that coding, Amy and you and I were talking about the coding in the break. We have high school academies that are residential. So we have an aviation and engineering summer academy where high school students stay on our campus. They live in our dorms for a week. How about the athletic programs, right?
Yeah.
We have tons of athletic camps, men's and women's basketball, soccer, softball, baseball, swimming. What I love about those programs is we have, those programs are led by our coaches and student athletes. So it's really just awesome. Lots going on in the summer.
Oh, wow. It was like so many questions about those different aspects.
Yeah.
I will say, like you said, this is our second year talking about summer at SLU. And I am more excited this year even than last year because it became personal. I have friends and their kids did these camps. Mm-hmm. A friend, I think it maybe like a freshman in high school did the coding camp. Which was so cool. And to know that, you know, parents are looking at what do I want to sign my kids up for this summer? What are they going to do? What's something they're interested in? So many options, so many age groups. And it also, it's kind of cool being on a college campus.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a couple unique things, I think, that makes summer at SLU super unique in the summer camp world. One of them, yes, it is on a university campus. So these students are working with our students, faculty, and staff, right? Getting that hands-on experience with our university community. They're staying in our dorms, they're in our state-of-the-art facilities, mm-hmm. whether it's on the athletic campus or in our lecture halls, our labs, our classrooms. They're eating at the dining hall. You know, they're getting that awesome buffet and ice cream that our college students get during the year. They have that experience. That's really unique and cool. But when you talk about, right, the types of camps that we have, you know, on a college campus, I'll give you an example. We have a Gardens to Tables culinary camp that happens just down the road on our South Campus, led by our Nutrition and Dietetics program. I have met so many students in that program that are current students now that said, hey, I did that Gardens to Tables camp. It's a cooking camp. These are K through 12 students that we have a community garden. They pick their own food. They learn how to cook healthy meals. And then at the end of the week, for parents and families, they cook them a meal and they can show what they learned during the week. I'll have a lot of those students in that program now that say, hey, I did that cooking camp when I was in fifth grade or sixth grade.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm majoring in nutrition and dietetics. We love those stories. That's part of why we do what we do at Summer at SLU.
And you know, Ranj, we've talked about my pilot friend who listens to the show and then texts in furiously whenever we just like speculate about how planes work.
Yeah. And usually we are correct.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we're always correct.
Accurate aviation information.
Yes, yeah.
Show.
I mean, we like, you know, the voice of St. Louis, occasional speculation about the minutiae of aviation. But so my pilot friend texted in, he went here. Yeah, he went to the aviation school. I have a couple other friends who did as well. And so I asked you when you first, you know, came up here to where we're broadcasting. I'm like, okay, so are there aviation camps for kids? And there is. What is this aviation camp?
It's incredible. So it's part of our residential academies that we have for high school students. So they'll check in like on a Sunday. They are here on a week. They're living in one of our state-of-the-art residence halls. They are shadowing faculty. So they're meeting folks from the aviation program. They're touring our facilities. I think the best part of it is they get to go to our airport across the river. And they get to fly around in a plane with a St. Louis University flight instructor. So they're learning the mechanics of how to fly. They do a fly around the arch, so they get to get those amazing shots. But that is the true immersive aviation experience. And we have that for a lot of our other high school academies. We have a health sciences one that's like that, engineering. We have a STEM immersion experience. These are really, you're on a collegiate campus. You're prepping for college, right? And you're really learning, wow, this might be actually a degree program and path that I want to go down. Those are awesome programs. Aviation is a lot of fun.
So, I mean, you, as the years go on, you will add things, right? You'll tweak some stuff. Is there anything new for 2025?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was just telling Amy, you know, we had no programming for a couple years because of COVID-19. Mm. We are back at it. I was just telling her we had like 3,600 students on our campus last summer. Yeah. That was awesome because we're back and we're surpassing pre-COVID levels. We're super excited about that. But we are always looking for new summer camp opportunities. So one of them is we are trying to pilot an arts camp, actually. So we're trying to partner on a kind of like a visual performing arts camp. We've never done one like that before. So that's going to be a new one. That'll be for middle and high school students. And that's in the works. We're hopefully trying to launch it for this summer. But, you know, we have 40 plus, you know, you think about all the athletic camps and things like that. There's so much to do. We're a one-stop shop, right, for your summer. Your family can come. You can knock out all your summer camps on our campus. But we are absolutely always looking for those new opportunities. And I'm excited about that visual and performing arts camp this summer.
So if parents are listening and they are thinking, this sounds great for my kids, maybe they've got a few kids that they would want to send, like you said, a one-stop shop. The cost, if they're concerned, can a parent look at the cost, see if there might be any help?
Sure. Yeah, we do have, we're super excited about this. We have scholarships available for our academic summer camps and academies. So our website, summer.slu.edu, there's a K-12 programs page, and on the left side, there is a button for scholarships. We provide financial assistance, and we'll be honest, we try to help out as much as we can for families. So Summer at SLU, it's the community engagement part of our university, right? It's part of our mission of who we are as a university. You know, Chris May was just talking about, we are a force for good for this city. We are in the community, not just as a college campus, but for the city. And for the region. And we don't want anything to impede somebody from coming on our campus to do one of our summer camps. So we got financial aid. It's a really, really quick application for folks to fill out. But I would encourage parents, summer.su.edu is where that application is. And absolutely, we provide for all of our K-12 academic programs.
Summer.slu.edu is the website to find out about all these different camps. And I think first one, May 31st, right? That's the very first camp gets
exactly
going,
right,
and they run all the way through August?
That is correct, yeah. So we have a couple programs that will last the whole summer. So one of them is our campus recreation youth camp. That's the quintessential fun summer camp. They're running, they're jumping, they're swimming, they go on field trips. Gardens to Tables, that cooking camp that I mentioned, that's all summer. I will mention too, registration is open for many of our programs now. The bulk of all of our programs will open on March 3rd, so that first week of March. So you still have plenty of time to plan your summer with us. But some of those programs are open now. So if you want to head to our website, you'll find a few of those registration's open.
So. Do you get quite a few students from out of state?
We do. So especially for those high school academies, aviation's one of them, engineering, health sciences. I was talking to a program director the other day, and we had folks last summer in aviation from California, from Texas. We had an international student from Europe in one of our academies. And I was like, that's amazing, right? That is super cool. So we love those testimonials. We love those stories because really, Summer at SLU is a very unique experience, I think, for not just us in St. Louis, but around the country, I think.
If you do one of those academic camps like coding or something like that, is that something a student can put on their transcript? I don't know if it officially counts as a credit or you just add it to your transcript to really boost it for future college applications.
Sure. They are non-credit programs, but absolutely, right? You can say you completed our STEM programs. We try to give out certificates too for all these camps, right? Because I think it's a big deal when you completed a program like that. Here's what I'll say too about these programs. As I mentioned, right, this is led by our faculty and staff. So you get to meet professors, right? That may be your professors one day, or maybe the program coordinator and undergraduate admission for this program. Those are great networking opportunities, right? You're meeting these professors on our campus. You have that contact on, and our faculty love these programs, right? They want to work with these students. They want to tell them about their programs. So I think that's a very unique networking and relationship opportunity there, too, for these students.
Jacob Weirson is the director of Summer at SLU. All of the information, summer.slu.edu. You can find out about all the camps there. I was going to ask you a question, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's one more shout out to my family listening, but ask the question about,
we should
do work before play, so please.
The question was, what do you think Dad is doing right now? And if he's not listening, there is going to be a quiz, and if he fails, there will be punishment.
100%, absolutely. Okay. He is definitely listening, so him and my mom down in El Paso will be listening. I do want to shout out to my nephew and niece, Caleb and Abby Weirson, who are listening right now as well. And I also got an 8-month-old niece who's listening to me down in Houston, Texas. So Isabel,
that's our key demo.
Isabel and Center. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got to train them early to be listening to the radio.
That's right.
So yeah, down in Houston with my sister and brother-in-law. So.
I bet your 8-month-old niece would beat us in a debate.
You know what? She is. It's amazing. She's talking, right? She's doing all these amazing things. She's growing so fast. She would beat me in a debate for sure. No question. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank your family for single-handedly boosting our ratings.
There we go. Houston and El Paso. You're going to see that demographic shooting up. Yeah, absolutely.
We've really been targeting the El Paso market. That's what we've been looking for.
Keep
on doing it.
Yeah. Summer.slu.edu. Jacob Weirson, the director of Summer at SLU. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Chris and Amy here. We are broadcasting live from the Billiken Grill at St. Louis University Bush Student Center. We're going to be talking to Hannah Wallace from the women's basketball team. She joins us after the 12:30 news. You're listening to KMOX. Who wants to go to the Golf Expo? It's this weekend, starting today, actually, the St. Louis Golf Expo at
the St. Charles Convention Center.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it kind of throws you off.
Final pair of tickets to give away, and we're doing it right now. My God, I am so excited.
Be the seventh caller.
Caller seven to the contest line at 314-955-1120. 314-955-1120. You go to golf thing. You know, one of my least favorite things in the world is when people start telling me about their golf they played. Oh, I was over on the, I played at the Dunes and I did the thing. Like, I don't care. I don't care what your score is.
I think it's jealousy, though. I think if you.
Why would it be jealousy?
Well, because you don't golf.
Well, because I don't care.
Well, hey, you know what I do care about? As I mentioned,
the Chiefs.
We talked to Kurt Warner yesterday, Hall of Famer, quarterback, St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
It's been 25 years. 25 years ago yesterday, in fact, when the St. Louis Rams won the Super Bowl. So we asked all of you, if the 99 Rams played the current Chiefs, the 2022-24 Chiefs, if the 99 Rams played the current Chiefs, who would win? We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of voters.
Yeah.
80% said the 99 Rams would
win
the current Chiefs. And just under 20% said that the Chiefs would beat the Rams.
So,
and why do you find these? I agree. The 99 Rams, I have always said, and I've had this debate 7,000 times, The 99 Rams would beat the 07 Patriots because even though the 07 Patriots had a flashier offense, the 99 Rams were a better team. They had a better defense. Now, this Chiefs team, their defense has been outstanding this year. So I do think it would be tough. But the offense for the Rams, I think it would blow them away.
So, okay, here's why I think the results are interesting. And we're getting into the mindset of the listeners.
Okay.
So clearly most of our people are from St. Louis. People who voted in this poll are from St. Louis. We're going to have a lot of Chiefs fans who vote in that poll. And most people are going to vote for their team. You know, it's hard to be objective when you're the fan of a team. You always think that yours is the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested that so many people, and in addition, I got a lot of people who follow my Twitter account from Chicago, and people up there love to poo-poo everything St. Louis.
Sure.
So I am interested in the fact that so many people in that poll still voted for the Rams.
Yeah,
so maybe there are a lot of Bears fans who voted in that who hate the Chiefs. So
they're
voting
against Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I don't think they care. Well, they might. No, because we know we would have ruined Patrick Mahomes.
You guys, Eberflus,
absolutely would.
You guys would have ruined Mahomes.
Absolutely would have ruined him.
But don't you think when people think of the 99 Rams, because they left the city, because they devastated the city.
They did.
I feel like there's some separation now between Bears fans and the 99 Rams.
Yeah,
there
probably
just is.
Yeah, there probably is.
Yeah.
But still, it's a. I'm surprised by the results. I really am. Just because I think for sports, it's really difficult to be objective. It's tough.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at it.
Well,
and when I'm not objective,
I'll tell you,
know
why
it.
Here's why you're good at it.
Because you don't care.
You don't really care.
No, I do care.
You don't care. You're over there with your dumb Chiefs sweater, and you're like,
well,
oh, look how
Chiefs,
good of a fan
Chiefs
I am.
The Chiefs fandom is very different than my St. Louis Blues fandom. The St. Louis Blues fandom was passionate, right?
Yeah.
My entire life.
Yeah.
The Chiefs fandom, see, I was a Rich Brooks, Tony Banks Rams fan. Then I was a St. Louis Rams fan. We had season tickets to The Greatest Show on Turf.
Yeah.
Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. And this was even before The Greatest Show on Turf. I wrote a letter to Todd Kinchin when I
why?
Was 12 because he was my favorite player, and I don't know why. And I told him that don't drop the ball so much.
Well, come on. All right,
hold
on.
He did send me an autographed
wait a minute.
Card back.
Did you really say that to him?
Yes.
Don't drop the ball so much?
I think I was 11. Yeah, I just said you're my favorite player, but you need to hold
so
on
so you've
to the
always
ball.
Been like this.
Listen, I wasn't wrong. I was not wrong.
Yeah, but have a little tact.
He said,
you're an 11-year-old. You shouldn't be writing NFL players telling them not to drop the ball.
Well, I just felt like he needed to be reminded of
who
that.
Who do you think you are?
I don't know, but he sent me an autographed card back, and he said, thank you very much. But, you know, so when the Rams left St. Louis, when they're stolen from us, that kills a little bit. Part of inside of you, a little bit of you dies inside. So I'm with KMOX. KMOX is now, you know, a Chiefs station. My dad went to school in Kansas City. My uncle and aunt lived in Kansas City. They went to Chiefs game. They would always come to our house like on Christmas and the holidays and all their Chiefs gear.
Yeah.
They were season ticket holders forever in the darkest days of being a Chiefs fan. So I was on the periphery constantly of hardcore Chiefs fans. And then when we became the Chiefs station, I said, you know what? I'm going to
you're
going to
buy in altogether.
Yes, but it does feel different. Like, I get what you're saying. Because I don't want to pretend. I don't want people to look at me and go, oh, you're a bandwagon. Maybe a little bit because I died inside a few years ago.
But also,
Stan Kroenke killed a part of me.
And what you're talking about, the camaraderie of having all of your family get together watching games, you know, whether it was you're doing that with the Chiefs or you're tailgating with the Rams or just watching at home with family and friends every Sunday, that's a culturally, that's a pretty big loss.
Well, I mean,
it's not just the financial part of it for the city. It's still a loss for people.
Yeah.
And having a cultural thing to do.
Yeah. And like I said, having so much family in Kansas City and being a kid and seeing, you know, in the 90s, my uncle showing up to Christmas in the old school, although it wasn't old school at the time, but, you know, the old school Chiefs gear and sweatshirts. So I was, like I said, always on the periphery of being a Chiefs fan, which is different than being a Blues fan. When I wore a 3-foot tall aluminum foil Stanley Cup on my head. On Mother's Day, I was such a weird kid.
Yeah. It's a good thing you grew out of that and became a totally normal adult.
I do want to congratulate Michael from St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, Michael from St. Louis.
He's going golfing at the Expo.
You don't golf at the Expo. You go there and buy balls and clubs and stuff.
I guarantee you they have a simulator, a golf simulator.
Yeah, probably.
Guarantee. I wish I were good at golf. I think I would be a better business person if I could golf. A lot of business is done on the golf course.
Yeah, you wouldn't be any good. It'd be rough for you.
Okay, he's a wet blanket, Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Marksgorst, trying to keep things, you know, happy and exciting. But
hey,
speaking of that, I'm pretty pumped.
Are you?
Yeah.
When we come back, St. Louisan and a member of the St. Louis women's basketball team, Hannah Wallace, will join the show.
Awesome.
It's Amy Marksgorst and Chris Ranji from the Billiken Grill at SLU on KMOX. The Billiken Blizzard game is tonight. The men's team plays Dayton. 6 o'clock is the start time. We got the broadcast at 5:45 on KMOX. Tomorrow, the women's game will happen, also on KMOX, and we are joined by guard on the women's team, also St. Louis and Hannah Wallace.
Yes.
She's with us now. How you doing, Hannah?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man. We're having a good time down here. I can't believe they let us in.
Well, they didn't really let us in. We had to...
We kind of stiff-armed our way in.
We got it.
It's not like a...
Yeah. I mean, once you're here, it's, you know, it's more awkward to kick us out.
Yeah.
So we got in.
True.
And,
especially when you're all set up and everything.
Right? Yeah. The more... That's how we bring so much stuff. Because the more stuff you have, the more awkward it is to make us leave. So we thought we'll be here. But I'm excited to talk to you. I was saying before or during the break, we've talked to Coach Rebecca Tillett. And
she blew us off today.
Well, no. She
was supposed to be on... And then she thought about it and said,
nah, no, I don't think so. But no, but we have said we want to talk to members of the team and because it's so much fun to watch you guys play. And so thank you for joining us. I think you
no
are
problem.
Our
thank
first
you for having me.
Our first team member, right? To join this show?
I think so.
I think you are.
Coach Tilly told me a lot of good things about you too, so
What exactly did she say?
She said you guys are great people, great interviewers, and I was going to have a great time. So
okay.
All right. I like to think we're a lot of fun. So
Well,
it's great. Now, you're a freshman.
Yes.
Freshman guard here from St. Louis.
Cardinal Ritter?
Yes, Cardinal Ritter.
Okay.
How was that team when you were playing in high school on the Cardinal Ritter team? Always have a pretty competitive team there?
Yeah, we, for the most part, we always had a pretty competitive team, especially my senior, junior year, like it was a lot of fun. So, yeah.
When you're a senior, I imagine other girls on that team went on to play college basketball. A lot of talk about where each of you, you're looking at where you want to go, where you want to play.
Yes, so a few of us did go off to college to play basketball. One of my good friends, Anaya Williams, she goes to SEMO here in Missouri, so we keep in contact and talk a lot about our basketball experiences as a D1 athlete and things like that. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
How did you decide to come here? Some people want to stick closer to home. Some people want to get as far away as possible. So, you know, you've got family here. How did you make that decision?
Yeah, I definitely understand that, but I didn't really have a preference, like, of where I went, how close, how far, and things of that nature. I just wanted to make sure that the school that I went to was a good fit for me. And I always tell people, no matter where SLU was in the United States, I was going to go. So it didn't really matter that it was in St. Louis. It was just the best fit for me. So I decided to go.
That's awesome. You know, you talked about being a student athlete. We just talked to Chris May, the director of athletics here. Mm-hmm. And he was saying one thing that's so extraordinary about St. Louis University and what really sets you guys apart, not only the caliber of athletics, but also the importance on academics.
Yes.
That's a hard balance.
Yeah, that was really the deciding factor for me. Just coming here and going on all the visits that I went on throughout my junior and senior year of high school, like, I asked a lot of questions about the academic side of things, and SLU had all the right answers. Like, so it was just a no-brainer for me. And then me coming in as a freshman and just completing my first semester, starting my second semester, they've definitely held to everything that we talked about on my visit. And academics is definitely a focal point, and I feel like I'm growing here and I'm able to flourish on both sides, being a student and an athlete. So it's been a good fit.
Is it ever difficult to find the balance? Because I mean, you're training so hard as a D1 athlete, But, I mean, even without sports, it can be hard to keep up with classes.
Yes, it definitely is. But there are a lot of resources put in place to help me. I was actually just talking to one of my classmates before I came here about that. And he was just telling me he doesn't know, like, how I do it. And just couldn't imagine that it's so difficult. And I was just explaining to him that it is. But it's a lot of fun. And then also they give us a lot of things to help us and put us in the best position to be successful. So I take upon those resources and I try my best.
So how, yeah, I know that there are, as you said, there are resources for student athletes because there's so much on your plate. What exactly, what sort of help specifically do you get from the university?
So I would say the first thing that comes to mind is the Champion Center. Anything that you can think of is in the Champion Center. I mean, from food to academics to if I want to go work out extra, like that's where the arena is. It's attached to the arena, so that's where we practice and that's where I work out and all of those things. That's also where my coaches have their offices, and then that's where I get to eat. They have meals prepared for us, like the student athletes. And then we also have like our academic help in there, and they hire tutors and things like that. And for us, specifically student athletes in that area, because it's so close to everything that we have to do as far as practice, eat, and things like that. So the Champion Center definitely comes to mind. I'm able to get help with any work, any papers that I need. Also, talk to the people that I need to talk to. So,
how is the camaraderie among the student athletes, not just within basketball, but across different sports, knowing that you're all kind of in that same boat with an enormous amount of pressure and fun too? But I mean, it's hard work, right? Being a D1 athlete, balancing academics, and also knowing that you have those resources.
I think it's fun for us to kind of like intertwine a little bit, and we can talk about our different experiences. We actually have a core class that they just implemented this year that I took my first semester, and it's just a class strictly for student athletes, and it's from baseball, volleyball, soccer, just all around sports. And we take that class and we kind of talk about like our different struggles, and then a lot of different people come in, a lot of different resources on campus come into that class to talk to us and tell us when they're available and things like that. So I met a lot of different student athletes in that class, and then also got in contact with a lot of different resources. So having that class and being able to you know, meet different people that are also student athletes, not always in the same sport, but we're kind of walking the same walk, it was pretty fun. So yeah.
Women's basketball guard Hannah Wallace is with us on KMOX. If I'm not mistaken, there are only two of you from the St. Louis area,
yes,
right?
Two of us from the St. Louis area. Me and Maya.
Maya, Gleason. Yeah. Okay, so are you making sure everybody else on the team does all the St. Louis stuff? And if you are, what's the St. Louis stuff you're forcing them to do?
I would say that I've definitely fallen short in that area.
Oh.
We're so big.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed?
Now that you say it out loud, I am embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
It's just, I mean, we have a lot on our plates, and it's
wait a minute,
hard,
you're not hanging out at the zoo?
No.
You're not giving them, not getting them emos?
We haven't been to the zoo yet. Emos, a lot of my teammates had already tried it before I came, and a lot of them surprisingly don't like it. So, I mean, I was a little offended by that, but.
Did you hear what she said, surprisingly? I'm actually more surprised when people like St. Louis style pizza. People from outside the area.
You saw that whole thing on Jimmy Kimmel, right? Like Jason Tatum and
Sterling K. Brown.
Sterling K. Brown, because Jimmy Kimmel's wife is from St. Louis, and he hates it, but Jason Tatum, like, it's the best.
It's the best.
And then
to me.
And then Simone Biles, her husband Jonathan Owens, is from St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah.
And Simone Biles liked it when she came here. So to me, that's
Trey Young. I saw him it was a couple of years ago, right before the draft. And he had a box of Emos, and he said, I'm about to try it. And I think he liked it, or he pretended to like it. So,
it's really good to me. I don't
know. So when they said they didn't like it, did you close the box and walk away?
I actually
snapped the box closed.
I mean, I just asked him, like, what pizza do you like then? Like, I'm like, maybe I should try your style of pizza. Maybe it's better. But
okay, have you ever been up in the arch?
Yes, I have.
Okay, have you taken any of them up in the arch?
No, I have.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should plan to do some of those things. Cause
I think it's your. I know you're a freshman, but you could still, you know, you can still take. Do like make Listen. Them. You can say, guys, we have to go.
I know you're a D1 athlete, and I know you're carrying a heavy academic load, but I feel like you can make. Yeah. You've got plenty of free time to just roam around.
Yeah.
Skip a class.
Skip a class.
It's fine. What's so as we mentioned, we talk to Rebecca Tillett every now and then. We're big fans of hers. She's not listening. No. Oh, just pretend like it's just us.
Okay.
Is she hard on the team? Is she does she yell at you?
Yes, she's hard, but she wants the best for us. It's all for a greater good.
Yeah. Do you have any complaints that you would like to air now?
No, I don't have all good things.
Okay.
You can see why this guy is a troublemaker.
I didn't do anything.
I think he thinks it's cute.
No, no, I just want her to feel comfortable with us, that she could say whatever she wants.
Yeah. So if people are listening, say they haven't seen SLU women's basketball play.
Mm-hmm.
What's the style of play? They're like, you got to come because you have to see this. This is what we bring to the court.
I say the first thing that comes to mind is just we're a fast-paced team. We like to get up and down. We need to slow the ball down. We will. But we like to get up and down, and then we also have a saying called dictate and disrupt. Mm-hmm. We really take pride in our defense and just trying to let our defense feel our offense. So if you want to come and see us get up and down, if you want to come and see us dictate and disrupt, then come to the SLU Women's Basketball game.
The A-10's a pretty tough league. Is it about what you expected it to be?
Yes, definitely. I've watched SLU for many of years since I'm from St. Louis, and I've definitely watched a little bit closer since Coach Tilla has been here for the past 2 years. And the A-10, it's a tough conference. I don't think many people realize, like, the caliber of players that we have in this conference, but it's everything I expected it to be.
Now, we had on, as I mentioned, Chris May, the athletics director. He's a track and field guy, was a runner. You, not surprising, just an absolute stud athlete as a guard here. But you ran track and field at Cardinal Ritter, right?
Yes, I did.
What were your best events there?
I would have to say triple jump because I won that my senior year.
State?
And then also high jump. I came in second, but we both tied for the meet record that meet. So high jump and triple
jump. So how'd you pick basketball?
Yeah,
how'd
you choose?
It was really hard. But me and my dad are really close, and he was a basketball player, and I just wanted to do whatever to be around him. So he was more so in the basketball field, so I chose basketball. But I played basketball and ran track for a little while. So.
And you were and are a big fan of Allyson Felix. Was she kind of your inspiration in track?
I watched her a lot growing up. And just like somebody that I can look up to, like, all around. She was a great person. I listened to a lot of her interviews and things like that. And just like every time after she ran a race and they interviewed her, it was just like a different vibe that I got. And I really connected with that.
What was your first game like here at Chaffetz?
Nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking, especially because I'm from St. Louis. Like, there were so many people that were contacting me, wanted to come to the game, and a lot of people were able to make it. And just the nerves of being from St. Louis, but also the nerves of just having my first, like, home game as a collegiate athlete. But it turned out to be fine. It was really fun. I was very appreciative of everybody who got to come, and I got through it. So,
how many friends on a given night? How many friends and family are in the stands for you?
Probably around 10 to 15, and that's like a low number. Like I've had lots and lots and lots of people come.
That's such a great point, though. That it on one side it is awesome because you have them there. On the other side, it probably adds some pressure, maybe some distraction if people are texting you, asking you for tickets. Mm-hmm. So when you are a hometown hero player, is it kind of balancing the pros and the cons, or is it primarily something that you just are grateful for?
I'm definitely grateful for it. I mean, it does bring a lot of nerves for me sometimes, but I mean, my coaches and my teammates, they instill a lot of confidence in me, like, just all across the board. And Coach Tilly, that was one of the things that she talked to me about, like, when I first came, just saying that she knows that it's going to be a lot of pressure and sometimes it's going to be a lot of nerves, but she's here to help me, and she's done just that since I've been here. So just having that support system around me is really, like, helpful. So.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier about coming here and making the decision to come to SLU. What was her recruiting pitch like to you?
She just basically told me if I want to win a championship, then I should come to St. Louis. And she told me that she wanted to do that with me. So, we had a great conversation and I was all in.
How has the training been compared to being a high school athlete, obviously running track and playing basketball, but now you're a D1 athlete playing college basketball? And we always have these arguments in the sports world, like, who are the best athletes? And basketball is just brutal.
Yeah.
Because you have to be strong. You have to have endurance. You have to be able to sprint and have hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
It's insane. How has the fitness aspect of this changed since becoming a D1 athlete?
I would just say it's definitely intensified, but I mean, I did run track and I played basketball in high school, so I got a taste of like just having to be a all-around like athlete and having to be fit, but also get in the gym and work on my shots and things like that. I got a little taste of that in high school, but coming here, it definitely was intensified. But like I said before, there's just so many resources. Like my position coach, Coach Jimmy, he helps me a lot with the basketball area. Coach A, which is our strength and conditioning coach, she helps me a lot in our whole team, like in that area, and they're always there to just be a support and then also give me some pointers on like what I need to do to refuel my body, mm-hmm. how I can rest and recovery things. So yeah, it's been a pretty smooth transition, but it definitely is intense.
And you know what, in terms of attention to the sport in the last few years, there's been a lot more mm-hmm. on women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, yeah. people like that. Is that, do you notice that?
Yes, definitely, for sure. I mean, I grew up watching a lot of basketball because my family watched a lot of basketball, but it was always men. Like, even when it came down to college, like, we always watched men's college basketball and the NBA and things like that. A little bit of the WNBA, and I would say my dad did do a great job with that, with just trying to get me, like, more educated on that side, even though it wasn't much of a popular thing. But over the past 2 years, like, or few years, it's definitely grown tremendously, and I've definitely seen a difference. And I'm very appreciative for those women who have paved the way for us, and then also just all the sacrifices that they have to make and, you know, just things that they put on the line to make sure that we have a platform. So, yeah.
I know we don't have much more time with you, but you mentioned track, and we've been talking a lot this year about kids playing sports and focusing on one sport and only doing that sport year round, but you did track. Do you find that, like, would you encourage kids to play multiple sports, even if they know they love basketball or they love soccer? Did you find that you benefited from playing other sports as well?
Yes, I would definitely. First thing is just cultivating relationships. When you get on these teams, like, a lot of times you make lifelong friends, so that would be my first thing, just getting out there and just meeting people and being able to cultivate those relationships. And then also, a lot of the times, even though you're focused on one sport, other sports can help you with that sport. So with track, like, it's a joke me and my coach Kelsey have, and she's just telling me how she feels like I'll never get out of shape, and I just like think about that, and sometimes like I feel like that's true, but a lot of that comes from just the track training that I've had in the past. So a lot of sports help you with the others, so I would say just definitely do that. And then track also gave me an outlet, like I was able to do it on a competitive level, but it wasn't like as serious because it wasn't my main sport, so it's something that can lighten the mood a little bit. So, yeah, I would definitely encourage.
SLU women's basketball tomorrow at home against Fordham. It's a 7 o'clock game. It'll be on KMOX. Hannah Wallace will play tomorrow. It's good to see you. Thank you for stopping by and
Thank
talking
you
to
for
us. And tell
me.
Rebecca we're not happy that she blew us off.
I will tell her.
That's the first thing you say to her at shoot around tomorrow. Chris and Amy, not happy.
I would just say maybe feelings hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, but you know, we understand.
Gotcha. I'm glad I was able to come though.
Yeah, thanks, Hannah.
Appreciate it.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Few more moments left at Billiken Grill at St. Louis University. The Billiken Blizzard is tonight. It is the men's team against Dayton. Always a huge game. I'm assuming tickets are gone. There weren't very many. There were less than a dozen about an hour ago. So, yeah, you're probably, what are they? The SOL is what they say. The game is presented by Summer at SLU. So, looking forward to tonight. I think it will be a good time. I'm going to go. Amy and I got basketball jerseys.
They're pretty sweet.
They're pretty cool.
They're blue, Billiken blue, and
yeah.
They say the Lou on them.
They do say the Lou on them. And I think I'm going to wear, I've never worn a basketball jersey, like ever, but especially as a fan. I've never gone to a game with a jersey, but I'm going to do it tonight.
But then you cannot forget to put the Blizzard, the whiteout shirt on over the jersey, because the jersey is an awesome blue, but it's
right.
The whiteout game.
Well, I don't know what to do now because I can't have both. Why would I wear this jersey if I have to put something over
it? Then I think you need to wear the jersey for the next game.
I don't know. We'll see. We're going to see.
Yeah.
I'm and looking forward to it, though.
Get some, like, white painter's pants. I think they still make those.
What is it, you and the painter's pants?
What's... Listen, I have some friends who went to the Blizzard game, go to the Blizzard game every year, I should say. And they are Blizzard out to, I mean.
Blizzarded out?
Blizzarded out. White pants, white shoes, even white gloves, white hat, white shirt. And I just don't want you to embarrass us by not being all blizzarded out.
Good point, Amy.
Yep.
Thank you for helping.
You're welcome. Hey, and don't forget, we're giving away tickets to the Outlaw Festival next week.
All next week, every day. You got to be listening for your chance to win. Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson. Outlaw Festival. Tickets we'll give away all week. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji, anything you missed is on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Download it, and you can go back and catch the podcasts because there's a lot of good stuff today. We talked to Chris May, talked to Robbie Avila. We had Hannah Wallace on the show from the women's team. A lot of very good stuff. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you Monday at 10 o'clock. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji on KMOX. Dave Glover is next.